We're still over in a subject, and we're looking in about being filled with the Spirit, and we're talking about a Spirit-filled church, because it's one thing to have a Spirit-filled, you know, people talk about a Spirit-filled life, but the Spirit-filled church. One of the things Kenneth E. Hagin said numbers of times before he left this earth, he said, pastors, make your church a Spirit-filled church. So it's not natural just to have a Spirit-filled church. He said, make your church a Spirit-filled church. Most churches are not Spirit-filled churches because their doctrine doesn't lead. Now, I'm not trying to knock people. I'm just telling you, biblical fact. It's not geared toward being a Spirit-filled church. It's not conducive to a Spirit-filled life. It's not good. Even many of the Spirit-filled churches are not conducive toward Spirit-filled life. Their churches aren't Spirit-filled. They don't allow certain things of the Spirit to operate in their meetings. They won't allow it. You're not allowed to do it. Anymore, you go to services and it's about getting people in and getting people out. More and more, the big churches, you will never see demonstrations of the Spirit. Everything's hidden in back rooms. Everything's put, you know, after the service, if you want to meet God, you know, He's over here because He don't come out here. We don't let Him in. We keep Him penned up over there someplace. And if you want to run into God somewhere, you can go back there at that place. You can, and they're doing more and more of that. And we, one of the things that I enjoyed so much back in the early 80s was the fact of most of the time during that period where, you know, there was just a flow of the Spirit and people were all learning, but a lot we learned because of the demonstration of Spirit in the church. You can't learn anything in most churches today about the move of the Spirit because it never takes place. So you can't learn it. There's things you're going to have to learn by experience, not just by in the book, written in the book. You're going to have experiences to see how things operate. And people would operate in manifestations of the Spirit. Therefore, you would see them in operation, how they worked. You would see manifestations of gifts, so therefore you saw what it did. Well, if you never did see it, and today you can go sit in churches and you will never see a manifestation of the Spirit. They talk about the Holy Ghost being there. Well, prove it. Prove He's there. Prove it. Well, then they tell you, well, go afterwards. We'll have it here in the background. It's beyond me that, it's become to that. I mean, I realize sometimes maybe because of large amounts of people, you may have to do some things a little bit differently. But there's one thing, I mean, we won't even lead people to Christ in front of anybody today. I mean, it's everything's done in a back corner somewhere because we have, well, and they always go this, well, our society, you know, people are busy. I don't give a rip. I ain't changing if you get busy. That's your problem, not mine. That's just the way it is. You know, I just, God's sitting up in heaven. He don't care. If you're too busy to talk to Him, He don't give a rip. He keeps doing the same things the same way. He don't change because you're busy. You got to learn that stuff. If you haven't figured that out, if we haven't figured out here in America that our busyness is the reason why our nation's in the trouble that's in, God didn't change. He didn't become say, it's okay, you guys get busy, I'll take care of it anyhow. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. Well, see, we need to understand there's things that are required. If you're going to go after God, if you're going to seek Him, the Bible talks about that seek. It means to be diligently to go after something. Diligently. It doesn't mean, you know, casually look at something. That's what most people say. Well, I'm seeking God. To them, seeking God is, I gave Him 2 minutes. What does He want? Dear Lord, I talked to Him yesterday one time, and He hasn't even responded yet. Yeah, but, oh, He's thrilled to death that you even talked to Him. He's probably over there going, geez. We need to understand about our God. God, the Bible says that God doesn't change. If God doesn't change, then what was required 2,000 years ago is required today. We think we live, Randall Greer always, you know, says about, he makes a statement. He says, you know, these social trends are not moves of God. The church today, and most of the major churches, are all following social trends. That's what they do. They follow social trends. And most Christians follow along with it. A lot of the stuff on TV, Christianity on TV, is social trends. And most people love it. They love the social trend books. They buy them like crazy from these guys. They buy the social trend books and things and all this kind of stuff. Oh, yes, well, God's doing this. God ain't doing, God hasn't changed what he does. He still runs the same. You know, it's just, I thought it was interesting because I was listening to Mike this morning reading those scriptures up, and I'm thinking, you know, the pattern that God moves never have changed, even though Jesus Christ died and was raised from the dead from your sin. God still follows the same pattern dealing with people. Restoration comes in the same manner. If men get into sin, God deals with them the same way. He has not changed, yet the church has changed totally. When people get into sin today, it's, oh, don't touch them, say we don't want to hurt their feelings, we don't want to do anything. This is the way God deals with it. God will come and judge it. And then people talk about knowing God today. They don't know what God's like at all. We find dealing with, what did God, like if you look at the scriptures Mike read, was God judging them to destroy them? If he didn't judge it, it can't be changed. What you will not allow to be judged in your life will never change. You got to let it be judged. You got to let God judge it. If you need a fix, that's why many times people pray for fixes and it never gets fixed, because they will never change. What you do that causes a problem, prayer doesn't dismiss that. If you keep doing that, it will still have the problem. I don't care if you pray a million hours, you know, a year. It still ain't going to change it. You can't pray and not change. And so we need to understand the importance of these things. In the church, in the Spirit-filled church, we have been teaching, looking from the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I want to go back there because it's instruction to the Spirit-filled church. There's things that I've seen that God's dealing with me on, especially the chapters 12, 13, and 14. He keeps dealing with me these chapters all together. As years ago, the Lord spoke to me one day and said to me, I want you to start reading the New Testament, the letters of the church. Read them like letters. Quit reading them in chapters and verses. He said, ignore the chapter and verse thing and read them. He said, these are letters that I wrote to people. He said, I didn't read them in chapter and verses. They were a letter. Do you ever think about, you get a letter from somebody, you don't break it down in chapters and verses and try to do all that kind of stuff to understand what they're trying to say. It was done for study, but yet the church, I think, has glorified more the chapter and verse than they have the letter. In some ways, I did. When I started reading them as a letter, I thought, my, there was so much that I missed. People talk about revelation. A lot of things I would get of revelation came because I began to read it right. I got revelation just because I started reading it right. And, you know, I never heard anybody ever teach chapter 12, 13, and 14 together. Never in my life. I've never heard one preacher ever preach. I've never read one book. That doesn't mean nobody's ever done it. Whom I'm familiar with, any books, they've never done it. Yet when I read this stuff, the Lord showed it to me in the light of a letter written to people. Well, I thought, they would understand. He's on a subject. He's never changed the subject. He's dealing with them about the realm of the Spirit and the operation of the realm of the Spirit of the church. We break it up into different categories and preach really differently than what the letter was written. That doesn't mean a revelation didn't come, but there's a greater revelation when you understand it in its wholeness than you do just parts of it. And so the church world today, we need to understand these things. Paul had told these people, and we had used the first verse in the 14th chapter, that they were supposed to pursue love. They were supposed to pursue that. That's a pursuit. Why? Because everything's done out of the motive of love in the church. That's what this operation is. Everything's done with that. So we're supposed to pursue that, because that will be the motivation of our operation in the church. Is believers' love for one another. Believers' love for one another. We want to do that. He said, you what? Desire spiritual gifts. And it's, I've always said, I'm going to keep reiterating to it, that the word desire there means to crave or to earnestly desire, to really want. You got to want these things. In other words, God didn't say you're going to get them just because you'd like to have them or they're just going to show up. Your part is to have a craving and a desire for them. That'd be nice to have. That's not the desire it's talking about here. But he said, but especially that you may prophesy. Oh, my words. But especially. You wanted the spiritual gifts? He said, a gift you should want is to prophesy. That's what you should want. Speaking by the inspiration of God. Oh, my words, what a change in this church world today if people were inspired by God to talk instead of all this stuff that's going on out here. There's a lot of preaching out here that's not inspired by God at all. Just because a man preaches from the Bible don't mean it's what God's saying. I can go get a sinner and he can read you the Bible. I don't mean that's what God's saying. Might be just reading what God said. Randall Greer always says this. He said, mostly what we get today is book reports. He said, I sit and watch ministers minister. He said, all we get is book reports. He said, they're not speaking. There's no really the inspiration of prophecy in what they do. There's no inspiration of speaking. They're just giving a book report, a nice book, give you a little patina, you know, to make it again this week until you can drag yourself back in here next week and get by. And, you know, after the truck hits you outside, and we'll drag your body in here and try to breathe life back into you again. And it isn't really teaching people to live out there. They can't. So they go to the world, live like the world, you know, get along best you can. Do best you can. He went on, we'll just read it again. He says, for he who speaks in a tongue, he's talking here about tongues. He's going to, this subject covers through and much here. He says, who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he is speaking mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Now look what he's saying. Now understand what he's talking about here. If we would go back through the gifts of the Spirit and all these things, the gifts of the Spirit and manifestation that are talked in the 12th chapter, the gift of tongues there is not the gift of tongues that you get when you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's not that tongues. That's a gift to minister. And he said, just like everybody doesn't, end of the 12th chapter, he said, does everybody have gifts of healings? Does everybody? No, some people, that's not what they operate in or what they do. This is tongues for ministry in a church. This is when somebody speaks in tongues that is to be interpreted. There's a difference between my tongues in my natural life as a spirit-filled being. There's a difference between, if I speak in tongues out in a church, publicly, I want everybody to hear it. It's because it's to be interpreted. It is not a tongue that's not supposed to be. And see, we need to know the difference. You may be sitting in right there now in a meeting. Many times up front here, I can be worshiping God and I'll start talking in tongues or singing in tongues. That's for me. That is not outward something that is supposed to be interpreted. That's edification to me. Understand this, folks. But then there's some that comes, it is to be spoken out. It's to be said out, and that's a gift. There's a difference. I can tell the only, in fact, lots of times I will even know, like on a Saturday, that I'm going to give a tongue, or sometimes that Mike's going to give a tongue. I will know it on Saturday. Well, the Bible, we're going to find out. It says, when you come, have a tongue, have an interpretation. It's something you can have ahead of time. Now, that doesn't mean it always happens like that. It don't, but sometimes I know ahead of time. Sometimes I know I'm going to prophesy. Sometimes I know that. I know that the inspiration, I know that. You get over in the realm of the Spirit, you sense things, you know. Ain't stuff hidden over there. It ain't hidden in the realm of the Spirit. And you touch into things. Mike touched into what he spoke last week during the week before. He had already touched into it and then came and delivered it on Sunday. Well, that's nothing strange. That's normal. It's just the operation of the gifts. He has a gift. And the operation of that gift manifests through him. The fact that he would know the gift's going to work shouldn't surprise nobody. A lot of people act like gifts of the Spirit are just things that are just spontaneous. Sometimes they are. A lot of times they're not just spontaneous. A lot of times I know. You believe how many times things I know in services that I know beforehand to do, I will see myself sometimes doing certain things and saying certain things. During the week, I see it. I know, wow, it's a gift in operation. It ain't because Ed's a rocket scientist or a genius. I just see it because of the gift. And it's just a gift in operation. Here we have a gift in operation. He said, I wish everybody spoke in tongues, but he said even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets. Why? That the church may receive edification. The whole purpose the church gets together for is to edify one another. This is why the church gets together, to be edified, to be built up. That's why we do. We get together and it's done for that purpose. We need to understand, there's very few churches that have meetings like this anymore. Most churches you go to, what they do, they have their evangelistic meeting and everything. Everything's geared toward the same thing. What they have is, you know, their little sort of called social events or for the church. They call that, you know, where you get together and you'll have some cookies and tea and stuff and maybe read a couple of verses in the Bible and pray. That's as much as the edification church gets. That's where the home group stuff. That's why a lot of this spirit, people don't grow up spiritually in these home group junk. The home group things. Because there ain't much spiritual goes on in them. It's all socializing. It's socializing. Calling socializing is your big thing. And people, you know, just think about this. The word says, don't know any man after the flesh. Meditate on that for about a year and let it dawn on you what it just said. 99% of people only know people by the flesh. That's the only way they know people. The Bible says, don't know any man that way. Dear God, means we ought to be making some changes. There's nothing the matter with getting to know each other socially and being around. That's good. That's part of the fellowship we have together. But you need to understand, we have to know each other deeper than that. I thought it was really interesting. I had a thing sent from Rhema, and one of the leaders had made a statement and said this, and I thought it was really interesting because he said he was out to eat for lunch, and he said there was a couple. He didn't know this as a man, and he said he just figured it was his mother, you know, was with him, and this man and his mother, and they were out for lunch together. And he said, I just felt impressed to buy them lunch, to pay for their lunch. So he said, I paid for their lunch. But he said, on the way home, he said, going back to work, he said, I was going back to work, and he said, I thought, you know, I didn't know those people at all, yet he said, I was sensitive to the Spirit, he said, to know to buy them lunch. He said, how many times, he said, the people that are around me, that are close to me and my Christian brothers, he said, I really look at them and know them more by the outward. And he said, I let what's on the outside sort of deaden me to what their need might be or what I need to do for them. See, I watch this. You know, I watch Christians. I watch how Christians work. You know, it's like television. You sit down and you show a sorry, you know, a kid that's half starved and everything, and my God, they got their wallets out and we're going to give money and we're going to take care of this. Yet the person sits next to him in church don't look hungry, might need help more than as much as that kid needs help. But there's no sensitive spirit because why? We need stimulated by the outward all the time because we don't know on the inside. Now look, we're all guilty of it, so don't get there and, you know. But see, it's when we only know each other by the outward and we don't know each other, what happens? We only meet the seen need. And understand that. Most churches, I mean, I'll just be honest about it. The head of our regional director of Rhema that, you know, I belong to, I've heard him say so many times, if you see a need, meet it. Well, I know this. That's all he does. He calls that ministry. That ain't ministry. My God, what happens is the devil creates needs and you follow him. And he'll tell you where to place your money. He'll tell you where to spend your time. He'll tell you. We're supposed to be moved by the Spirit of God. Last I heard. No. We're supposed to be moved by the Spirit of God. The church is supposed to be a different group. You know, I can truthfully say this. Probably back at the end of the 80s, there was a lot more of the church moved by the Spirit of God than it is today. It was more moved by... people wanted to know what God was doing. I want to know what God, what do you want me to do? Now it's God, I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. This is what I want. This is what I need. It isn't God, what do you want? And there was more of that within people to know what God wanted. So we found out, Paul's talking here about the use of tongues in a church. He said tongues should not be used as an outward thing when somebody doesn't interpret. In other words, a need that it is interpreted. He said, but especially, what do you want people to do? Prophesy. Prophecy is speaking. Really, if you take tongues, interpretation itself is equal to prophecy. But God wants to say something. And in the church realm, we should probably have more prophecy than we do in tongues interpretation in the church. I would think. If Paul emphasized more toward the, in which he did, he told us we should desire all spiritual gifts, but especially to prophesy. So I would think that in the church realm that the gift of prophecy would probably be more to the forefront. More people should have that. I don't think Paul would have said that. If it wasn't so, it would sort of be a, you know, lead us in a wrong direction. And I don't think he was trying to do that. So the fact that we would speak out in prophecy should not be any kind of strange thing. I think that should be developed more and more. In fact, the gift of prophecy, probably in anything than my own personal, even in my own personal life, works more than any gift where I'll speak out things of inspiration, even concerning myself. Many times I've spoken out answers to what I needed, what I've been seeking God for. I spoke it out in a prophecy to myself. By the spirit of prophecy, it comes out. And so why? God wanted to say something. He'll say that. Well, why did he say it that way? I don't know. Ask him. That's the way he does things. But you'll limit yourself if you just expect God to respond to you to one way and one way all the time. You're going to be limited. There's things you're never going to hear. See, why does God work that way? Again, I don't want to ask him. I don't even care. I'm not going to waste my time trying to figure that out. Just respond to what he's doing. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. That's the best way to do it. Now, Paul went on talking to the church. He said, but now, brother, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by hearing? Just what he said here. Listen to what he said. If I come to you talking in tongues, what does it profit you? Speaking in tongues itself out in a meeting, what does that profit? Nothing. Itself, nothing. Doesn't profit anything. In other words, what would profit you if I come to you speaking to you, here he says, either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching. So in other words, doing something in a known tongue. That's what profits you. That's what we want to do in a church. What profits individuals? See, you can learn to judge things that God is bringing to you. You need to understand this. God brings things to us in manifestations of gift. You need to learn to judge what God's bringing to you. Is this going to be profitable? Is this profitable to the church? See, so lots of people don't think about that. Is it profitable? Is it going to cause confusion what I'm going to do? We have to know that. I've sat in meetings and that stuff years ago and that stuff, and even church services. And these people would come along and stand up and prophesy. Preacher's up there preaching. Somebody just jump up and start prophesying. Somebody jump up and start saying something, solely by the Holy Ghost. You know, I don't care what they said was true. What they did is cause a disruption, and what was true was of no profit whatsoever. Number one, they didn't judge it properly. They didn't walk in love. God's not speaking through the pastor, and he's going to interrupt the pastor with you. You're not going to do that. We say, well, if the pastor's wrong, that's tough. He's still in charge. You don't override the guy in charge, you'll bring confusion. It's always bring confusion. I know people who have been right about things they think ought to be done, but totally wrong in their motives, and they're nothing but problem people. You being right doesn't matter to a hill of beans if it's done wrong. It doesn't matter. What matters is it's done right. Number one, if God gives you something, then you ask God, like with sometimes there's things come up in me, and I'll judge it at the time. I've known at times now that I've had certain things that was up in my spirit, but I knew at the time where I even was in the middle of my teaching, that did not need to be said right now. You have to hold off on that because it'll fit at a spot, but it's there. You're not under the demand that you have to do it. This is where maturity comes in. If God inspires you to say something, that don't mean you have to jump up and say it that minute. God inspired me. This message here's been, I'm preaching, here's been going on in me in months. I didn't preach it months ago, did I? You have to know when to bring it out. And it's just like that, learning to judge. Things have to be judged. We're going to find out about that as we go on in this. So there's things, one of the best things we do, we want to bring things out so that people get edified. It helps them. Not so it brings more confusion to the confused. You don't want to do that. You don't want to confuse people. I mean, there's some people, even if you do it right, they're going to be confused. You just have to overlook that. Some people, they're just Mr. and Mrs. Confused, and they're always going to be confused because they won't listen. They'll, you know, have their little mind running all the time and never paying attention. You know, I find people like that. Their mind runs all the time. You're talking to them, and the whole time you're talking to them, their mind's going thinking about their stuff. And they didn't pay attention at all what you said. They don't even know at all what you said about it. I learned that preaching. I preach to people, preach the word to people and that stuff, and I know there's people. I could walk out and touch them, tell them they ain't no paying no attention. They got things on their mind this week about stuff. They ain't heard a thing I said. So you get over and touch, you're over in this realm of the spirit. There's things you can sense. I can sense who pulls and who don't pull. I can sense those things. I can sense them. Now, I don't try to do it. It's just, you get over in the spirit, you just know. It's just things you hook up to. I mean, I don't know. You know, it ain't, I'm up here Mr. Spiritual. I just, that's part of the gift thing. You know, it's just what runs. Hallelujah. But anyway, he said, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is being spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. In other words, you're just making noise. You can just make noise. This is really important. Now, he uses here in the term about using, he's talking about piping or you know, using a horn, blowing a trumpet. You know, in fact, it was up till the First World, even into the First World War, they still used the trumpets and things and stuff to call charges and all kinds of things. Now, when I was in the military, during Vietnam, they didn't. Mostly time, a bugle is used as ceremonial. Then, but at one time, it was used for that. In other words, there was distinct things that if they blew the trumpet, men knew exactly what to do at certain sounds. They knew what to do. So he's talking, this is what he's talking about here. He's talking about sounds that we're using. He's using as an illustration concerning language also. In other words, say if you're doing something and people can't understand what is being said. In other words, if the military was out there and they were supposed to do a charge and a guy's blowing a retreat, it's a good chance it's not going to go well. And so, in other words, distinct sounds so people know what's going on. He's trying to use as an illustration in the church because you're trying to edify people, so you don't want to do things that people don't understand. You don't want to do stuff. You don't want to be blowing a trumpet. Nobody knows what it's about because people need to understand it. These distinction in these sounds. He's in verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he shall be a foreigner to me. In other words, you know, if I'm an Italian and can only speak Italian, and so we have Conrad here who he speaks American English, and he doesn't understand Italian. Him and I are not going to have a very good conversation with each other unless there's a move of the Holy Ghost to do something to change that. We can talk and not probably have a clue what each other is saying. We wouldn't have a clue. So in other words, he's referring to this as the same way. To speak out in tongues in a meeting without interpretation, it is the same way as trying to communicate with somebody and you're on two different languages. It's exactly the same way. So in other words, there's no understanding for people about it. Unless Conrad and I could get an interpreter to change that, well then we can have communication, but we can only have that communication through an interpreter. We still can't talk to each other. So there must be someone to interpret, and that's what the tongues is about. Tongues is about God uses an individual to speak out a thing, and then there's a person who is the interpreter of those things. And if there's not an interpreter, then the tongue should not be spoken because there is no need for it. Nobody's going to understand anything anyhow. Nobody's going to get it. So this is what he's talking about. It's what he's trying to do is bring order to a church that was really basically out of order because people were just speaking out. Their church was very confusing. In fact, much was done that did not edify the church. It was about people and their gifts. We have to watch that. Just because I have a gift, that don't mean it's my time to put it in demonstration. That's where I have to use some sensibility in these things, use some spiritual sense. Now here in this church, and you guys heard me say all the time, if you'd had a tongue, you'd go ahead and give it. There's an interpreter here. I operate in it. But you know, I've watched churches and that stuff where people come in for the first time, don't even know it, stand up and give a tongue. They don't know if it's an interpreter there. You should never do that in a church unless you know there's an interpreter. If you can't give the interpretation, you stay silent. We're going to find out what it tells you to do, stay silent. You don't give it if you don't know. You have to know. So in other words, there's things about us as Christian, it'd be sort of like, you know, working and going somewhere, you know, or somewhere. You know, we wouldn't go to some place that people aren't familiar to us. There's certain things we would never do there. But it seems like in the church, people are just throw out all kind of good sense. They'll just throw out the door because in the terms of so-called spirituality, well, God understands. Yeah, but if people don't understand, who cares? No matter how much God understands. God understands everything. Do you? Sometimes him and I have a problem because he knows a lot more than I do. And his communication between me and him gets limited in some areas because of my lack of understanding. But he can't go any further than I understand. He never will. Be stupid. But yet people will walk into a crowd and call Christians and they'll do things that should never be done because they don't know. Now somebody who's around who understands and knows the crowd, they could very well do it. But if you don't know, you keep silent till you start to understand, judge the crowd. That's why in these big meetings, you get these people jump up and stuff like that. They don't know nothing about what's going on. God didn't call them there to do that. They decide to go do that stuff. They walk in the door. Many of these people do it. And it's sad because they do it to get noticed. They want somebody to think they're spiritual. But they don't realize they just showed their carnality, but most people don't know that. But I've watched people, Christians, get offended. Well, that guy spoke up and they told him to sit down and not, they judged him, told him to sit down, don't do that. And there's people all around get offended. Oh, that was God moving. What do you know about God moving? See, this stuff isn't taught in the church, so nobody knows nothing about it. If it was taught in the churches, this stuff wouldn't go on. Let me tell you this, there is a spiritual etiquette. Even though in America we have no etiquette whatsoever, God ain't changed. In the church, there's a spiritual etiquette. We need to maintain it if we want to maintain spirituality. If you want to maintain spirituality, you're going to have to learn it. You can do things that will offend the Holy Ghost and He won't move through you. There's one guy I don't want mad at me, and that's called the Holy Ghost. Because he's my only connection between me and Jesus Christ and the Father. I want to keep that on good terms. But see, when people are childish, here's one thing. Sometimes people do things childishly, they don't know. But some people never grow out of childhood. And after a while, the Holy Ghost gets fed up with it. They get fed up with things. See, there's an etiquette that we follow, and the reason is, it's about the edification of the church. Let's not cause confusion. God can't make it work. That's His problem, not Ed's. It's not Ed's. That's God's. It ain't Ed's. And so we have to learn that stuff. We have to learn to get around in these areas, to learn to walk in light of these things. Paul went on verse 12 there, he said, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. What do we excel at? Gifts? No. We excel at edification. We excel at the edification of the church. The point is to do the best we can to excel. That's why he's telling him here. He had all this tongue talking out here. It's fine. He said, I wish everybody spoke in tongues. But He said, in the church, he's laying out how this is done and why it's done, because we excel at edification of the church. In other words, building people up. The purpose of the church and the church getting together, building the church up, is the teaching, the training, the understanding, so people know God, know how to follow God, and know how to walk with God. If we just got in here all the time, just tongues and interpretations and that stuff, we want those things. They're nice to have. But they're not on the top of the list of things that we do. The top of the list is, number one, motivation, love. We want the gifts. Motivation and what is done is in love. To what? To edify the church. That's what we do. You pull love out of it, and then edification leaves, and that's been the problem. People don't walk in love. They're more self-centered. So what they do in operation of gifts is for their own edification. See, bringing back love. Am I doing what I'm doing for the best of the other person? Or am I doing this for me? See, and the word says, it won't profit you anything. I didn't say it wouldn't profit somebody else, but it's not going to profit you a thing. What good does it do to give all you got and operate in these gifts, but you get no profit out of it? What good is that? No benefit to you. How shameful. You can get up and give the best prophecy, bless everybody in the place, and that same prophecy does nothing for you because of the motivation. You didn't even hear what was said. I've had people prophesy already and asked them what the prophecy. They didn't have a clue. They don't have a hint of what they were doing. They were just blowing a horn. Now, it blessed other people, but it didn't bless them. They didn't get it. See, I want to get it too. I want to understand too. I want to be blessed too. Hallelujah. It's God talking. Ah. You know, at least with that E.F. Hutton thing, you know, E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. They even exist today? I don't think E.F. Hutton's around. See how well that one went. Hallelujah, but God's been talking, and if you had good sense, you'd be listening. Glory to God. So therefore, 13, he said, therefore, he who speaks in a tongue, pray that he may interpret. If you're going to do that, number one, you need to know there must be an interpreter in the house. If you're going to do that, you need to know among the people that you're with, there is an interpreter to just out and just jump out and speak out. I've been in meetings already, and I've seen it. Where I've, you know, gone somewhere where I'm not, you know, familiar with them, but somebody speaks in tongues, and they ain't got an interpreter in the place. They ain't got an interpreter there. Or at least they don't have anybody who knows how to yield to that gift. Could be, but nonetheless, unless somebody knows how to yield the gift, don't you do it. Don't you do it. So, hallelujah. We just want to follow these guidelines because these things are not given trying to hurt the church. They're trying to help us. It is for our edification. Verse 14 says, I want you to just get what he just said. Verse 13, he said, therefore let him who speaks in tongue pray that he may interpret. Verse 14 is a change here. See, everybody throws this together. He makes this statement, for if I pray in a tongue. He's not talking about speaking out in tongues. He's talking about praying in tongues. See, everybody throws all this stuff together. And he just went, he was talking about speaking out in a tongue in church, in among a congregation of people, where we speaking out a tongue that is to be interpreted. Here, Apostle Paul makes this statement. He says, for if I pray in a tongue, he said, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, Paul said when he prays in tongues, and so you can be sitting here like this morning, and I'll talk in tongues to myself, pray in tongues to myself, do things. He said, my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, I don't know what I said. He said, now this is about praying in tongues. It's unfruitful. He said, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. In other words, praying in tongues is praying in the Spirit. Paul just said so. Praying in tongues is praying in the Spirit. He said, I will also pray with the understanding. Paul's making a statement here about tongues, because some people say, well, you can't pray in tongues, you can't do that unless you have an anointing with the Spirit to do that. Paul didn't say that. Paul said, just like he can pray in his understanding, he can pray in tongues also. He said, I will, or by my own will, By my own will, I can pray in tongues, and by my own will, I can pray in my understanding. I can do that. See, I don't need a special anointing. I don't need anything special to do that. He said, I can do that. I've never had my spirit say, no, I don't want to pray in tongues. I don't. I don't want to. My spirit will immediately cooperate with me if I start praying in tongues. It'll just immediately start cooperating with me. Out of there. Say, but this is what most people do. They go, well, it don't make no sense to me. Well, it wasn't supposed to. The Bible said it don't. Why are you trying to understand what the Bible said you're not supposed to? The church spends so much time disobeying God. No wonder they can't get it. They're always trying to figure out, you know, where'd Cain get his wife? Stop, stupid, moronic, idiotic, dumb stuff. And anything important, they ain't got a clue. When I'm praying in tongues, Ed's mind is unfruitful. In other words, he's saying, you ain't got a clue what's been said. You don't know. He said, that's the way it is. Now, when we pray, now he said, I'll pray in my understanding also. In other words, I can do the two. I said, I'll pray in my understanding also. Listen to what he says. I will sing with the Spirit. In other words, I'm going to sing in other tongues. You might say you can't sing in other tongues. That's the biggest lie you ever said or thought of in your mind. He said, now sing in my understanding also. Can you sing in your understanding? Well, then you have to be able to sing in tongues. Well, I don't know what it means. I don't make sense to me. I'm not musically inclined. Well, then you can't sing any song. You see, when people read... We've read the Bible, you know, it's like Brother Hagin, you say, with our religious colored glasses. We got these ideas about things. Things we've been indoctrinated with over the years, even in Spirit-filled churches, that keep people from flowing in the Spirit. It keeps those churches from flowing in the Spirit. It keeps them from being Spirit-filled churches. Because instead of reading the things the way it's stated, they have their idea before they ever got to the verse what this next one's going to mean. Now, we can by our will do it. I can sing in tongues just as easy as I can sit here and look up here when we're singing on Sundays, up here looking at these things. I can, by my will, just as easy sing. Say, well, I don't know a tune. Well, just add the tune of whatever song you know and just sing in tongues. He didn't tell you how to write a new song, did he? But in your mind, you get over there in Alice in Wonderland, you know? You know, and you keep following the Cheshire Cat, that guy smoking. That's the one they follow. You know, a bunch of whacked out people. See, read the Bible for what it says. He didn't say you had to write music. He didn't say, none of that was said. But right away, people go to Alice in Wonderland. We get over there and our ideas about things. You know, everybody's always trying to make up their own thing. I don't care. Somebody has a tune I like, I'll turn around and sing it in tongues. I don't give a rip. I don't see how people play around with all this stuff and mess around all the time. You know, my God, just let the inner man out sometime. You find out how much fun it is. My God, you're getting locked up all the time. My God, the devil has more freedom than our spirits do. We do everything we can to keep it locked up down there. Don't let it express itself. My God, but I'll say what's on my mind. Oh, dear God, here we go. Dear Lord. Now we're going to have some sin. Now we're going to get into sin. Let's start talking what's on their minds. Hallelujah. That's good preaching anyway. You could put the bags of stones down now. I want you to look at this in this next scripture, because it says, listen, verse 16. Paul's talking here about these things, because he's talking about praying in tongues. He's talking about praying in tongues. And he says, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed? Now, I want you to talk about it. He's talking about somebody who's uninformed. Uninformed about what? Spiritual manifestations or spiritual gifts. Somebody that's uninformed. What do I do when I'm around a person who isn't informed about those things? Now, he's not talking here about specifically a church service. He's not talking about. He's not here. He's talking about, I can pray in tongues, I can sing in tongues. He's talking about his personal life. Now he talks about here blessing. So we think about blessing. You know, people say, well, let's, you know, pray the blessing over our food and stuff. He said, now here, otherwise, he who blesses with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? Now, in other words, the uninformed person doesn't understand this tongues thing. Now, I want you to see what Apostle Paul wrote in the next verse. For indeed, he said, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other's not edified. In other words, I could pray over my food in tongues, and Paul said, I did a good thing. Now, here's to be a little revelation to you. He said, that was a good thing. But now, if somebody there that's uninformed, why do I pray in a known language? You need to understand this. Prayer in a known language can inspire and edify other people. We understand this about prayer, you know, getting, you know, I was inspired and edified by listening to times that people pray. I get inspired by it. I get inspired to listen to what other people pray and what they say and do. It brings edification. See, we're one track on prayer. We're one, it's just about getting something done. We don't understand what prayer is about. Prayer and praying around the group is also for the edification of each other. Prayer can bring edification. Now, Kenneth Hagin talked about this subject in teaching along these lines one time. I know from some of the stories that he told, sometimes he would be maybe at a church ministering. Say, after church, he'd have a dinner. I know one time he talked about the Spirit of God began to move on him and he needed to pray. And he told the head of the house, who was a spiritual man and understood, he told him, he said, I need to pray. He said, I just got to be able to do it. And he said, the people who were there in the group that they were going to eat in a home to eat, he said it was about like three couples. He said they were all understood in what's going on. And he said, I need to pray. And he said, hey, let's halt this thing, the getting meal ready, what we're going to do in eating. He just put it to a halt. Brother Hagin says he needs to pray. Let's join with him. And he said, Brother Hagin said, I began to pray. So when I began to pray, he said, I just started praying in tongues. Well, there's a revelation came to Brother Hagin through this thing because he did it. But Brother Hagin made this statement. He said, if I would have been among people who didn't understand about praying in tongues, he said, I'd have asked them for a room where I could go off and pray by myself. I wouldn't have just done that. Just dropped down there and prayed people. Because, see, what happens, you need to understand this. It will also bring into the room, if the other people don't understand, they start getting over the area to unbelief and into confusion, it will really affect the spirit of what's going on and can really affect things. So this is why you don't do that. You know, I've watched people do things sometimes, and well, you don't understand, that's your problem. Well, hold it. It might end up being your problem because you're setting something in motion that might cause you trouble because of they don't understand. They may begin to operate against you. We had locally here back some years ago, there was a spirit-filled minister came to me, and he had talked to another spirit-filled minister, and they asked to get together. So we as spirit ministers would get together and begin to pray. We'd meet in Lebanon, and we'd go to get together and pray. We'd pray some for our understandings. We'd pray in other tongues. And we would do this, and it was amazing. God was doing some really good stuff through these prayer meetings. But what happened was they got over into the thing of one minister invited another guy, you know, and they said, oh, yeah, we're having a good prayer meeting. Come over. People they start inviting are people who are uninformed. So what happens is the spirit-filled spirit prayer stopped. And all prayer is being done from understanding. And the next thing you know, all they're doing is getting together and praying for each other. And I talked to him about this thing going. I said, hold on, we got together. This was spirit-filled people. Well, you want to get everybody involved. But I said, the spirit-filled ends. It ends. Because what happened when these guys started coming, they didn't want anybody praying in tongues. They didn't want them. They don't believe in that. You need to understand, if you're going to pray with a group and they don't want it, well, that's fine. But you need to know what you're getting involved in. You need to understand And just like in that instance, I turned around and ended up leaving the thing. I said, we're wasting our time. I said, this thing is going down the tubes. God didn't call together what you're doing now. What he called together at first is what he called together. But now you've turned it into what we got to have this group. And I said, yeah, now we got a bunch of guys here. Nothing's getting done. Nothing's getting done. Every week we come in, we're supposed to be praying for the city of Lebanon, and every week coming in, some minister got a problem. Half these big babies in this community, I'd like to slap them upside the head. Biggest whining, crying bunch, and they're supposed to be the pastors. Oh, my wife and I had an argument. I need prayer. My feelings are hurt. And they went and prayed for me. I didn't. I sat back. I thought, my God, cast the devil out of him. Make him go home and repent. I'd be ashamed to do what they're doing. They're God's good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah. See, get on the ministry. You find out things are going on out there. My words. Only see people stand up in front and act like, boy, there's somebody. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of nobodies standing up front. And to God, they're nobodies. They're worse. They have more problems than the people that they're ministering to. Their marriages, they can't work it out any better, and probably not as good as half the people in our church. Folks have been there and lived this stuff. Oh my God, when you get to see it, you get around ministers sometimes. I said, my word, biggest whine, sometimes crying babies over the littlest stuff. And I think, dear God, if that's the only problem I had in my life, dear Lord, I'd be up on a table dancing. I think, my God, I done arrived now. Just can't take the littlest things they're whining about. And I thought, poor dear people in their church. Well, you know their prayer lives don't go nowhere for their people because they can't even pray themselves and keep themselves straight. They can't help nobody else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, there are things you find out. But in other words, praying in the Spirit, in other words, you're praying in tongues. You need to be understand in its operation out there. So literally, you could actually, Paul said, if you prayed in tongues to bless something, you did good. It's just a matter. So, I mean, we could sit down and have a meal, and somebody could stand up and say, I want you to bless this meal. You could stand up and pray in tongues. We'd know that. All of us would know what that's about. We wouldn't have to have comprehension or understanding to understand know what that's about and say, well, he did it in tongues. It's a good thing. But now, the uninformed are there. Well, then you pray in a known tongue. Why? So they're blessed and edified. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to do that. That's what you just have to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 17 says, for you indeed give thanks well, he says, but the other isn't edified. I thank, then Paul, now look at Paul's statement. I thank you for you indeed give thanks well. Verse 18, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Now you see the context that Paul's talking about? Paul just gave instructions how it's done. So in other words, in front of people, Paul, in front of people who don't understand, Paul's not talking in tongues. In services where something could not be interpreted, Paul's not doing it. But we know Paul over here, when he can, when he's on his own, he said, I speak in tongues more than all of you guys do. I'm doing this thing. So in other words, we need to understand this. Why is Paul doing this? It must really be an important thing that he's doing it more than the whole bunch. Why? Because it edifies. Tongue brings edification. It edifies the person that does it. In other words, Paul's spending a lot of times edifying himself. Why? For the purpose. You need to understand this. Because then when it comes to ministry to people, I'm ready. I'm always ready to minister. I can be called on at any time. Because why? I know how to keep myself edified. I don't need to have to be done studied for 14, months to try to get, I don't have to. I'm edified. If you keep yourself edified, God will bring things up in you. Now, God, you administer some of the best sermons you never studied in your life. they can come up in you. But see, you need to understand that. And this is why. Most people, always when an event comes, they at that time, they're trying to prepare for it. If something happens, now I'm trying to prepare to deal with it. That's not the way it's done. It's done through keeping yourself edified, keeping yourself prayed in tongues, praying, edifying yourself all the time, doing that. Why? You're ready now for not to edify you. Now you're ready to edify somebody else. You're ready to do something. See, people always, you know, I've said before, as a pastor in a church I used to go to, my words, he called his office in his house the dungeon. And he would get down there every Saturday and spend all day just grueling. And he would come to church and tell us about it. And I used to think, why do you want to preach to us? You hate getting a message. You hate doing it. My words, to me, that's cake on the... I mean, that's getting a message. Dear God, I'm just trying to find out which ones I shouldn't preach. I don't know. Dear, what is he talking about? I ain't got a clue. But he's done it. But see, this is why. The whole thing of it, he wasn't edifying himself. And it was a drudge to go to the people. See, he should have been praying. And he went down there all day Saturday and prayed in tongues and threw his Bible out the window, he'd have probably got up the next morning and he'd have come to church and opened his Bible and he'd have found heaven there. And he would have ministered it to some people. Prayed in tongues till you get edified. You know, sometimes I don't need to read no more. What I need to do is just build myself up in the inside so I can get a hold of what I've done read, what I need to be given out. And that's where it's building yourself up on the inside. Paul is really giving instruction then. Paul said in verse 19, "Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue." So see, without the interpretation of things, it has no value to it. In other words, in the church, the majority of what we do is we teach, and the majority of what we'll do is speak in a known language most of the time. That's where operation... That's why Paul said is in the church, mostly I would like to have, when people come to church, he said that we would have prophecy. In other words, it's clear, easy to understand, it's clear. This is one of the things that... And I used to not understand it quite the way... But Brother Hagin... There's the list of the gifts of the Spirit that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. It's listed prophecy, then tongues and interpretation. And Brother Hagin said that prophecy is on a higher level than tongues and interpretation. He said because it requires two gifts in operation to operate in them. Yet we have, even though it's a higher level, Paul says that's what we should really excel to is for the edification of the church is the gift of prophecy is moving in that gift of all. If any gift is fine, tongues interpretation is fine in the church, but I personally would rather see more people from the standpoint of yielding toward the gift of prophecy is learning to operate in that gift because of it's on a higher level and number one, and it'll bring better clarification. Now we'll talk next week more about this teaching over here because we have more to say about in the church and its conduct in these things. But is there some things you can see clearer now about what why we do and why Paul gave the instructions? They're not to hinder anybody or hinder the Spirit. He wasn't doing something that's telling these church trying to get them to stop moving in the Holy Ghost and you're just a whacked out bunch. He's trying to bring an order to it so there's edification in the church. So the church, why? So we can have a real flow of the Spirit. Actually, what they were doing, so-called, quote, spiritual things were hindering the flow of the Spirit, of what the Spirit wanted to do. See, a person I've seen at times, I've seen people get up to do a spiritual thing, but it was out of order in the wrong time, and it disrupted what the Spirit wanted to do. Well, we don't want to do that, do we? Now, we don't want to get in fear, and I just want to say these remarks in closing. We don't want to get in fear of making a mistake. One of the biggest things is most people don't operate in gifts of the Spirit is because of fear. They're afraid of what they're going to look like if it don't work. And the reason, I'm saying this kindly, I'm not saying to be, the reason you do that, you're more interested in what you look like than ministering to people. Now, folks, I've been there. I don't know, I got flesh like the rest of you. You know, I don't come to church on Sunday morning and say, Ed, just look like a nut. Just you know, make them think just you're just crazy. Well, they might think that anyhow. But you're not trying. What? You know, you have that within yourself. But there's many times, there's times that I've learned over my Christian walk. There's 10 times even as pastoring. I knew the Holy Spirit wanted to do some things and held back. I just thought, oh, man. This, you know, what, you know, this might not look so good. But when I examined it, it was all about me. It was what I was going to look like the other day. It was... What if I give a prophecy and I mess it up? Well, just join the club with the rest of us. Understand this. God's gifts are perfect, but they're operating through imperfect vessels. How many of you here are perfect? I'm glad nobody raised their hands so we don't have to have an altar call for liars and get you saved. We're not. And we're imperfect. And understand this. So sometimes things don't come out in perfection. But there's one thing is you need to know and follow things by the flow of the Spirit. You know, there's some, I've heard prophecies already, and I realized they sort of made a mistake through them. But I understood the flow of the Spirit they were going, and it blessed me. See, some people get so terrible about, oh, somebody made a mistake. And I just want to, and the reason they do is because they're not spiritual. And they're upset at the guy they think ain't spiritual, who's more spiritual than they are, because at least they stepped out. They did try something. They tried to yield to the Holy Ghost. One of the things that we have in our favor here is our group, the size of our group. We have a really good here because this is a good ground to test. It's a good ground to learn things. And that's there's a real big. It's one thing as I like. It's one thing as I see. I've watched it, and I don't think God intended it. But big churches somehow have never learned how to work to teach their people how to operate in gifts because they're too busy having their big service. How many big churches do you know where people really operate and flow in the Spirit's mind? Mostly they don't. They don't do nothing. People just come and hold a seat. They wouldn't have a chance to operate in the gift of Spirit. There wouldn't be a chance to do that. And they don't have anything. I've been around churches. I've been around some of these things with home groups and stuff like that. And man, you get around them, wasn't nothing spiritual enough going on any of that to hook up to any of that kind of stuff. It doesn't exist. Now, I thank God, like in the 80s, it's because of groups I got around with. You know, and as we did, the church we were in was not perfect, but nonetheless, they gave us opportunity to operate in some things of the Spirit. And I got over then with a full gospel businessman, and you got opportunity to learn to yield to things in the Spirit. And we don't have that today. We don't have that today in the church. The church really works toward not having moves of the Spirit, then says we're praying for moves of the Spirit. But yet, they want this thing to come out perfect. It doesn't. Everybody has to mature in it. I mean, I surely didn't start out where I'm at, and I sure ain't arrived where I'm at. But see, you learn, and you learn to operate in them. And understand, I don't know any other way to do it. I don't know any other way to do it. It never, you know, we're just people having to learn to yield to things, because I don't care how much you read or how much I teach you on a subject, there's things about you need to experience with it to grasp a hold. You know, Kenneth Hagin was a very good teacher on areas of faith and things, but you know, there were some areas that it wasn't until I experienced certain things that I really finally got a hold of what he was trying to teach about it, but through experience, then I understood what was taught. But it's until I experienced some things that I understood that. Till you don't see things. You know, you can read all you want about a subject on repairing a computer or a car or this, that. You can read all the books you want, but I'm going to tell you what, this is going to happen to you. When you start sticking your hands in to fix any of it, you're going to find out experience is like, whoa, hugely different than what the book was. We have a book, the Bible, and it's a wonderful book, but you know the Bible doesn't tell you everything. The Bible don't tell you everything. Why? Because you need to experience God. He's not just an informational God. He's a God to be experienced. And when you start to experience Him, all those things that I started to think and I knew about the Bible because I read them, it totally changed because experience changed what I read. Then my words. What I saw when I read that, and now what I see knowing Him, it's like, oh, a little different. So yes, the Bible was right, But man, I wasn't connected to it right. This is wise experience. You need to understand, because you will judge everything by the experiences you have in life that you've had for now. Every pine tree you've ever seen, when you read a book and it talks about a pine tree, you'll automatically get a thing of the pine tree that you know. Some guy from some other country talks about a pine tree you never saw and it's in the book. You don't see his pine tree, you see yours. And you'll never see his pine tree until you experience his pine tree. I don't care. How, your mind will always... That's, you think God didn't know it was that way? God knew it. It's just the way, that's the way we're created. That's the way we're made. So God wants you to experience him. God wants you to know him more than just as some words on a page. He wants you to experience him. Why? Because then, and only then, does this book become alive. Jesus Christ becomes alive when he's alive to you. If he's only no more than words on a page, most of Christianity, Jesus is only words on a page because they only know the Jesus of the Gospels. They don't know the resurrected Jesus seated in heavenly places who they are seated with. They think it's the same guy that was operated as a human. They only know Jesus from the human side. They know him no more as a human down here walking on the earth. Hallelujah. You need to know him as King and King and Lord and Lords. If you're going to live victory in this life and we're singing about him having the crown, you better know the guy that got the crown now. That's the guy you need to know if you're going to live in victory here. Thank God for all we learned from reading about what he did for us. But you got to know him as the guy seated in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named. That's the Jesus you want to know. Hallelujah. I don't want to know the baby in the manger. I can read about that. But I don't want to know about the baby in the manger. I don't want to know that Jesus. I don't want to have a personal experience with the manger. I don't want to have none of that. You know, thank God all that Jesus did at the cross. Most people only know the cross from the natural. That's all they know. All they know is physical death. They know nothing about the spiritual side of it. They don't know anything about the spiritual. They don't know this guy that's wearing the crown. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When you get to know who you're seated with, I'm going to tell you what, you can get pretty darn bold. You can get really bold. Hallelujah. When you know what you're seated with. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Breshten, vansko yemra, lekatinshnina, voske monana kuyashte kalapeta fruke, mamra teso le fenda, lego dishle brokete koshisha la brokotashne. For now, you've stepped into a place that you haven't walked before. There's light that is coming in this day and time that will lead us to the place, hallelujah, that we will see many things very clear, that before we thought that we had known, but oh, we will know now. And this will lead us even to greater places to walk in glory and greater places to understand in this day and hour. For this truly is the time of the glorious church. For in this day and time, the ones who seek after me, who walk after me, are going to rise up in this last day. Yes, and through them my glory will be demonstrated out through the earth in this last day and last hour. For there are a people seeking me all over this world. Many walk in their same way and on their same paths. Oh, but there's always, always ones who are after me. Yes, and I will visit this earth through them. I will visit the earth through these ones. Hallelujah. Yes, and much will be changed in this last day and this last hour. Look not to the natural. Look not to what men are doing, but look to me, says the Lord, and you will know the path to walk, and my glory will be revealed. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we just want to keep flowing. We just want to flow with you. That's our heart's desire. You know it's been what we've craved, hallelujah, in this place. Lord God, we want to do your bidding and we want to do your will. And you've known that, hallelujah. Lord, we've been after you. We've hungered and thirst for righteousness and you told us we'd be filled. And I want to thank you, Lord God. I thank you for this day and hour, hallelujah, Lord God, that you're filling us, that you're enlightening us, that you're putting things into us so we can clearly walk forward to fulfill your plans and purposes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The words just keep coming to me. The reasoning of the mind. The reasoning of the mind. The reasoning of the mind. Because there is two reasonings that go on. It's what's inward and what's outward. Yes. Yeah, the outward can get pretty noisy. The reasoning of the mind. The mind can go on and reason and reason and reason about many things. Can think and think about things and even things spiritual. But you need to understand and know this. The reasoning of your mind is not touching into the spiritual. It's touching into the mental realm and that's all. I've not called you to reason with your mind. I've called you to listen to your heart. For my wisdom and understanding is on the inside. You will know when you look to the inside. Learn that, turn that outside off. Let the revelation on the inside dawn upon your mind and you will see clearly and walk clearly ahead. Hallelujah. 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 And the Spirit's also saying pressure may come. And pressure sometimes comes from others around. Hallelujah. Yes. People will put pressure on you, especially in this day and hour as you walk more in the light of the Spirit. Because many will not understand where you're walking. Many will not understand what you're doing. Many will think you're weird or strange. Yes. There are many who think, well, No. You're just so literal about the Bible. You're just so literal. Oh, yes. And I've called you to be literal. You have been called out to be literally what the Word says you are. You've been called out to be that and to live it and to walk in it. Yes. But don't yield to those pressures. Don't be moved by what they do or what they say. Yes. Because they may speak against you. But many of them wish they had the guts to walk where you walk. They wish they did. But they're trapped in the love of men. And the love in the things of men. Yes. And they want to please men. But I've set you apart to please me, says the Lord. I've set you apart to please me. And you will please me. And you will bless those who have stood against you. And said you're heading in the wrong way. But your obedience will bless them. Hallelujah. 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 The Spirit's bringing things up. This just keeps coming in. They're just playing. They're just playing. There's many who are just playing. They're just playing Christianity. They're playing it. They've learned how the game is played before men. They've learned how to say right things, do things in front of people that seem like they're spiritual, but they're just playing. They're like little children just playing. Oh, yes. And they know and understand what they're doing, and they're just playing. They're just playing. But you who desire to walk in the Spirit, you need to understand who's playing and who's not. You need to be able to differentiate to who's playing and who's not. Because the two are dealt differently with. The two, I will not deal with the same way through you. For the hour and the day is arisen that I will not tolerate the playing anymore. That the playing must stop, and I will judge those who are playing. I will judge them. All those ones, they do what they do. They're not playing. They don't understand. They don't know. Oh, but there's ones who have walked in truth and they've known it. and they've learned how to play the game. And I will deal with them. I will deal with them. And you need to know who they are. Listen on the inside and you will know. For I'll direct you and show you what is around you. Hallelujah. For those that you can help and those that you cannot help. For these are not the days of spending and wasting time on those who want to go nowhere. These are not the days and times. I've called you to help those who need help, not those who are playing games. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Holy Spirit, we just want to obey whatever you'd like to do. We want to do what you want to do, not what we want to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anyone you need prayer for something or something you'd like prayer for? Hallelujah. Come on now, brother. Glory to God.